This is the greatest book in the world right here. Greatest book in the world. You need comfort, it gives you comfort. You need whatever you need. You need to know how to build something, it'll tell you how to build it. So I don't believe that. It's in the Bible. And you want to know how to rule your finances? It's in the Bible. Everything you need is in the Word of God. John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Thank God for the Word of God. We're going to start at John 14, and we're going to turn around some places this morning. We're going to look at some couple of other scriptures. And it seemed like I said this morning, it seemed like the pressure is getting turned up on people. And then you start questioning why. You start saying, why, God? Why? And we go through troubles and trials, and we sing these songs. And like Michael Shane was saying a minute ago, he said, you know, you get to come be in a Bible-believing church and sing good gospel songs and about the Lord and about men, about his return. And we get to worship God. That's what this is called, the worship hour. We're supposed to worship God. And a worship comes from within. Praise comes out of the mouth. That's where praise comes from, but worship is in here. And the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. We always say that about every chapter, one of the greatest chapters. I learned how to read by reading the book of John. And I tell people all the time, when you get saved, you ought to read the book of John. Start reading John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of man. So you start reading that, memorizing the Word of God, and hiding it in your heart, that you might not sin against the Lord. And there's the greatest, one of the greatest books. John, you got four Gospels, and each one of them represent Jesus Christ in a different aspect. And John represents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you know, John laid on Jesus' chest right close to his heart and listened to his heartbeat. And he was a young man. And John had an insight that the other disciples didn't have. And the Lord gave him the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. So when you read the book of John and you get some promises in the Word of God, whenever we do funerals, we always read parts of John, John chapter 14, and we read parts of it. But there's some promises in the Bible, and there's 8,000, 400 and some promises in the Bible. And 8,000 some promises, God promises. You know what? The Bible says God cannot lie. Three places God cannot lie. Now, man will lie to you, and religion lies to you. Your job will lie to you. People will lie to you. The check's in the mail, amen? The check's in the mail, and they always lie to you, especially if you got a business trying to make a living. And they always lie. Yeah, we just sent that out. We just got that going. And they lie to you. But you know what? I thank God about the Lord. He'll never lie to you. He'll tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And he'll put it right in your face and say, hey, this is it. And that's the way it is. But look what the Bible says. Now, if you're troubled this morning, you're going through some things. You're going through some problems. You can trust in the Lord. And that Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Good to see my brother George Tribbett here today. Good to see him and Matthew. Good to see them. Amen. What a blessing. That blessed my heart to see George walk in the door. Amen. Bless my heart. And, you know, he just buried his wife. Of how many years, George? How many years were you and Bonnie married? Huh? Going 2 years ago, she passed. But how many years were y'all married? Huh? 56 years. That's a long time. Be with one person and thank the Lord that the Lord blessed them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the Lord's telling his disciples, look, don't let your heart be troubled. Trouble's going to find you. You're going to have trouble. And we're going to have things that you're going to face. You're going to face in this life. In this church, being here 31, going on 32 years, we've seen a lot of trouble. We've seen people go through troubles and trials. And a lot of times, you know, as a pastor, I go through it with you. And as a church, we go through it with you. And I could go around the room and look at people that their loved ones passed away. And they could remember the day, the time. And they could remember how long ago, like George just said, 2 years ago. I mean, you can remember all those things, the trouble. I can remember about my brother's death, and I said that just the other September 2nd, he was passed away. It had been 46 years ago my brother passed away. And so we have a lot of trouble in this life and the things that you go through. But the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, one thing we can rest assured, man, you might not ever have a mansion down here. You might never have a place of your own down here. If it wasn't for Pop-Pop Sage and Mom Sage, I probably wouldn't have my own piece of property. They helped us out. They helped us out to let us pay payments on the place. And I asked the Lord to give us our own place. And you can ask God to give you something. And you say, Lord, I know I got a mansion in heaven. And boy, that's going to be a great mansion. You ain't going to have to worry about paying no rent. You ain't going to worry about paying no electric bill. You ain't going to worry about food. You ain't going to worry about none of that stuff. It's all taken care of. And the Lord promises that. And as Christians, there are some things we can hold on to, we can trust, and we can believe in. And we know that God is not a liar. And we know we can put our trust in him. And when he says he will be with you, even on to the end of the world, that's what he told his disciples and told us as Christians. He'll be with us to the end of the world. He'll be with you to the end of your life. He'll be there. And if you're saved, if you're not saved, that's something different. We're talking about that in Sunday school. But I'll tell you what, if you're saved, he'll be with you to the end. And thank God he is. Amen. He's with us. And I can trust him. I can call out to God in the middle of my trouble and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your comfort. When you're dealing with a sick loved one, Devin just found out this morning that his grandfather passed away. And the grandmother that's now, she doesn't want to have a funeral. She doesn't want to do anything. So they're talking about having a funeral. And I said, we can do it here. I'm willing to help any way I can. I want to help. If the family wants to do that, if they ain't got the money, fine, we'll do it anyway. Amen. We'll just do it. And that's the way our church has been, policy been. We just help people out and be a blessing. And we want to try to encourage them in the middle of their trouble. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And the Lord promises us a place that it's an abiding place forever. You ain't got to worry about the mortgage. You ain't got to worry about somebody taking away from you. You ain't got to worry about the Lord saying, hey, you know, the government has this thing called the, on my tip of my tongue. If you got a piece of property that's in the way of their new road or something,
Eminent domain.
Yeah. They can take it away from you. If they want to, they'll give you whatever it's worth in their eyes, and they'll take it away from you, and they'll do that. And if the city wants to do that, they can do that. But you know what? When you get to heaven, the Lord ain't going to come up and say, you know what? We just had a underground pipe break, and your house is going to be destroyed, and we're just going to move you out somewhere else. And when he gives you a place, it's going to be a permanent place. It's an abiding place. It's not going to be taken away from you. And I thank God for that. Everybody, you know, people worry about finances. They're worried about dwellings. They're a place where they live. They're worried about jobs. They're worried about this going to happen, that's going to happen. And you wake up at night, in the middle of the night, you can't go back to sleep. You're looking at the ceiling, and you're worrying about troubles, and you're worrying about this. What could happen? You know, isn't it something how people worry to death over things that they think is going to happen and never happens? And you just wear yourself out from worrying about things that are never going to happen. By the Lord, you know, you worry, will I ever have a place? You ride down by areas. I was riding that tractor yesterday, riding by, and Chris was behind me. He said, man, there's some beautiful houses around here. He said, man, there's some beautiful dwellings. I said, yeah, people are in debt up there in neck, amen. But up in heaven, and there ain't going to be no financial burdens. Ain't going to be no trouble like that. He promised you that he will prepare a place for you. Now, aren't you glad that he's already prepared a place for you? I mean, here, you say, why did Jesus come to this earth and become a man? And then he came to die. We know that. But he came a man. But what trade did he take up with his stepfather? It was a carpenter. A builder. He took up the trade of a builder. You know why? Because he knows how to build. Yeah. He knows what to build. You know what? Isn't it something? The little trinkets that you have in your house and all the stuff. I believe this. When we get to heaven, it's going to be furnished. I believe everything's going to be furnished. I believe the Lord's going to know the things that you like. And women like these little trinkets and these little things in the house. And we got stuff in our house everywhere. My wife likes this lighthouse stuff. And she got all this lighthouse stuff. And we ain't got no room in the room anymore for the lighthouse stuff. She loves Pampered Chef. I believe the Lord's going to have Pampered Chef in heaven for her. She's going to be up there having Pampered Chef, you know, having little parties at our house or at her house. She'll have her own house then. Matter of fact, we kicked her out of the house. She went up to the New Year's. No, we didn't. No. We was teasing on the phone. I told her, I said, we're doing good. I teased her on the phone last night. I said, we're doing good around here. I said, we're making out good. Don't worry about it. I said, the house is clean. I said, man, we're cooking. We're eating. We're doing good. I said, stay up there another week. That's the way to get her home, amen. That's the way to get her home. And one time my wife was going to, she was mad at me. She was going to leave. And she got mad. We got in a little argument about something stupid. And I'm an antagonizer at times. I don't mean to be, but I antagonize. I can't help it. It's in my DNA. And I antagonized a little bit. And I kept, she said, I'll leave. I said, well, go ahead. Don't let the door hit you in the backside. You know, go on. And she said, well, I'll leave. So she got in the car and she rode down the road and she called home. I answered the phone. I told the kids, I said, she'll be calling back in a minute. And she called and she said, let me talk to Ruth. And Ruthie was at home. And she said, let me talk to Ruth. I said, for what? She said, I want to tell her what to fix for dinner tonight. I said, no, you're gone. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of ourselves. I hung up on her. I said, we take care of ourselves. And hung up and I told Ruth, I said, she'll be back in 3 minutes. She came back in and she walked right in the kitchen. I said, where you going? You don't live here no more. Remember, you're gone. You're out of here. And Ruthie and the kids kept saying, Daddy, stop it. Dad, stop it. I'm tagging her. I said, you don't live here no more. Get out of here. She says, I'm going to fix dinner, then I'll leave. So she fixed dinner. Then I knew she was going to be hard-headed. And I knew she was going to prove to me she's going to leave. So I went out and took all the coil wires off all the vehicles. And I sat out there in the chair and watched her, and I was just antagonizing. And she's trying to start the vehicle, and she tried to start this one, tried to start that one. She said, they won't start. I said, better get a mechanic. And she said, I'll take the church bus. I said, I'll have you arrested. And then we looked at each other and busted out laughing. And we laughed, and Ruthie kept saying, Dad, stop it, stop it. But you know what? We get to heaven, she'll have her own place. Ladies, isn't that a blessing? You're going to have your own house. You ain't got to worry about your husband no more, making a mess. What a blessing. You'll have, the Lord's already prepared a place for you. He already knows what you need, amen? What a blessing. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I mean, man, why our hearts should not be troubled is because the Lord's got everything under control. Amen. They sang that song this morning, under control. He's got everything under control. You ain't got to worry about it. It, you know, we desire this, we desire that. I mean, he says, I'm going to give you what you need. You know, another place in the Bible says that the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. He said, all these things will be added. He said, what things are you talking about? Everything you have need of. He didn't say your wants. He said, I'll meet your need. And he knows what you need. And every once in a while, you know, just like we do, we like to bring little gifts home. We like to do things and bring home and say, well, you know, they were like this. Every once in a while, the Lord will give you something on purpose. He'll give you things that you didn't even ask for, things that you didn't. I mean, just I'm talking about people that's trying to do right. I'm talking about people that's trying to love him, trying to serve him. He'll give you a little handfuls on purpose. And you know, I know this. If you're his child, even when you're backslidden, you say, God does good things for you. And you think, why in the world would he do that for me? I don't deserve. The Lord's just showing you don't deserve it. He's showing you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house is many. He gives you handfuls on purpose. He'll bless you and help you, encourage you. And man, why is it that we turn our back on him? Why is it we go back? And we don't, just like in the garden, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves after they ate from the fruit. We always hide ourselves from God. We hide ourselves from the church. We hide ourselves from church folks. I mean, we need each other, amen? We need to encourage one another. That's why the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, man, everybody's going through something this day and time. Everybody's got troubles in your life. You got things going on in your life. And you need each other.
Amen. That's right.
We need each other. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Why our heart shouldn't be troubled? Because he's prepared a place for us. He's got a house ready for us. My mom, my dad, and all my family's there. They're there. They got their own place. They got a house. They got a home. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I mean, we got a promise that the Lord's going to come back. What a promise. In verse 3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And when God makes promises, folks, he doesn't break them. You know, the Bible talks about trouble is going to come on this earth. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 24. There's going to be trouble coming on this earth. And when I read this, when I first got saved, I thought, oh my God. Oh my God, I don't want to have no children. I don't want to raise kids in this thing. And then the Lord said, hey, you do your job, I'll do my job. What we're supposed to do is do our job and raising our kids right. We're supposed to do our job in telling them about Jesus Christ and being an example that's it's appealing for them to want to follow us because we are saved. He's promised us a home. He's already, in, like I said, there's 8,400 some promises. He's promised us a home. He's promised us his return. For us to get the home, he's gonna come back and get us. One day he's coming back. But the Bible talks about, look at this. It says in Matthew chapter 24. He said, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And whosoever and wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so the shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I mean, man, when the Lord comes back, there's going to be all hell breaking loose. All kinds of stuff happening. I mean, stuff happening in this earth. And look over in Matthew 24 and look at verse 4. And look what he says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And you can deceive yourself and thinking he's not coming. You can deceive yourself and thinking he's delayed, he's coming, he's not coming. That's just a bunch of phony, baloney stuff that preachers are trying to get us to make us fear and worry about the Lord coming back. So that's what the devil tells you in your mind. And so the preacher's trying to use this stuff to keep us under fear so we don't, so we'll live for God and do what's right. I mean, let me say this. If that's the case, then then all the Bible's a lie.
Yeah.
And salvation, what we have is a lie. And man, the Lord ain't coming back. The Bible says over in Peter, they said, where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of it? They start mocking, they start making fun of it. And the devil will tell you he's not coming back. That's just a bunch of lies that keep you in fear and all that stuff. I said, well, but one thing about it, if it is a lie, which is not, it make you live better. It should. It should make you want to live right. I mean, thinking about, the Bible says that there's seven crowns or five crowns for a Christian to be one. And one of the crowns that every Christian can have in this room with no exemptions, child, man, woman, no exception. You can have a crown. You can. Everybody in this room can have a crown by loving his appearing. The devil knows that if you love his appearing, then you're going to walk each day. Your life is going to be each day going to be guided by his Holy Spirit. And you're going to lean on him in your life to trust him so your heart won't be troubled. The devil knows that. And boy, when people start telling me they don't believe the Bible or believe that God's coming back, I said, man, just look around. All you got to do is look around. What Jesus said. Look at here. Look at verse 8 or 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. We see that. Shall deceive many. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We see that every day on the news. He says, see that ye be not what? Troubled. You watch the news, you see these, you hear wars and rumors of wars. And the Lord said, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He said, man, he's coming back. This is tribulation. I realize that. For the Jews, I realize that passage. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. What are you worrying about? You're making yourself sick over worry. What are you worrying about? He says, he's giving you promises all the way through John chapter 14. There's seven promises there. I mean, seven of them. He says, I'll build your house. I'm going to have your place ready. And you won't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for. Matter of fact, he said, I'm coming back, and I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to take you home, whether by the grave or by the rapture. I'm going to take you home. And you got an abiding place. You're going to have a place to be with me forever. This life, if I live 70 years and the Lord takes me home, I might not live that long. And if the Lord takes me home, I've got my future already set. My future is forever. Eternity is set. What are you worrying about? What are you troubled about? You know, there's a lot of religions, they don't know that. People don't know. They don't know if they're going to go to heaven. They don't know that God's preparing a place for them. They don't know those things. They just don't know. They don't have no assurance. They have no comfort. They have no promises. Why? They don't read the Bible. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What you think your needs are and what he thinks your needs are, two different things. But he will give you handfuls on purpose. He's done that for me. And folks, I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching from non-experience. I'm preaching from experience that I've seen God in the midst of our troubles and trials where it was so heavy on me, so heavy in life that I felt like there was a 500 pounds on my back in life. And God's helped me through. Bible says just, look in John chapter 14, verse 4, for whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't know how many times that verse has been quoted, but that's one of the greatest verses. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says this, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. The greatest thing to ever happen to you sitting in this room this morning is not your birth was one, number one, but being born again was number two. Amen. The greatest thing ever happened to you. And some of y'all act like that second birth didn't mean nothing in this life. I'm going to tell you something. That second birth is the greatest birth that you could ever have. I mean, it set your destiny. It set things in motion that no man could ever buy. You couldn't pay for. You could never with any amount of money have. What could you buy a mansion in heaven for? I remember watching Mike Roberts, that video. Some of y'all remember it. Mike Roberts in his letters said they'd done built 500 homes in Vietnam for these children. Those homes are just a one bedroom and with a kitchen and a dining room, everything right together. And there's one bedroom. And I watched the video and cried watching that thing. They built it up because then the floods come and the rains come and those kids, they're orphan kids. And they go in, find kids that are orphans, and they secure a piece of ground for them, either by the family or by the government or something. They get it in their name. They have people working in the government to secure that, and they get the names of these children and put that name on the title of that home, and they build that home, and those Viet Congs build that home. And I was reading that letters Wednesday night. I said, probably some of the greatest Christians are not in America. Because Americans, we got so much, we can turn our back on God at a flash and that twinkling of an eye, we'll turn our back on God. And then we'll get mad at God. We'll get complaining about God. You say, why me? Why me? When our house burnt down, when my son got run over by a car, when all these things happened, I didn't say, why me? I just said, Lord, help me. I know I deserve it. Help me. We was having revival when my daddy died. We was having revival. I went and preached my dad's funeral, came back and preached his funeral, and we had revival here. Jim Lentz was here. We went on. Why? I know where my dad's at. My dad got saved. Greatest gift he ever have was my dad got saved. He's with the Lord in heaven. One of his funeral was probably one of the funniest funerals I ever did in my life. We laughed so hard about things, people getting up testifying about my father. We were laughing so hard, we were crying. The other part of my family was sitting there looking at us like, we're crazy. My dad's laying in the coffin, got his one finger, pinky, sticking up. I wanted to put a cigar in his hand because that's where he always had it, that one pinky sticking up. We laughed so hard over that. But you know what? My dad's walking around heaven going, wow, wow. Man, what a blessing. I got in on something big. I mean, we got a home. My dad's going to have his own home. Man, we know the Lord's coming back. He's promised us he's coming back. All the way, if I had the time this morning, I could show you all the verses on the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's hundreds of verses of the Lord coming back. And then he said, he's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Here's another one. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. He says, and then read on down, he said, talking about my father. You know, I can say, Father, Father, before I was saved, and if you're not saved here, your father's the devil. And before I got saved, I served the devil faithfully, my father. I served him faithfully. Some of you did too. But now I got a new father. Why? Because I've been born from above. I got a new daddy. And my daddy up in heaven doesn't mistreat me. And when you get bitter and mad at him, you're saying that he mistreats you. He doesn't treat you right. You're saying he's no good. He's a deadbeat dad. God's not a deadbeat God. He's not a deadbeat dad. He loves you. He's got the best for you.
Amen.
And he cares about you. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. It suffices us. It satisfies us. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I mean, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've seen him through the pages of this book. But I can pray, and I can feel the comfort of a Father when he walks in the room and comforts me.
Amen.
And God, I say, Father. And when I pray, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God inside me comforts me.
Amen.
And the Bible says if you get that comfort from God, you ought to comfort one another with it.
Amen.
Comfort others. Comfort people to show them that Jesus Christ is real. I mean, folks, in this chapter, he said, having abiding and knowing the Father. Knowing the Father in a real way. Look on down. Believe me that I am in the Father. And the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I mean, he says, you're going to do some works. He said, what I've done, you do. A father teaches his son to follow in his footsteps, teaches his son to work, and teaches his son, he should be, teaching his son how to work with his hands. My nephew said to me, Chris, he said, I've been telling my children. He said, all this time I lived at my uncle's house. He said, I lived there, and he said, I could have learned so much, but I didn't because I was too busy doing other things. He said, he told me this yesterday. He said, I was so busy playing basketball, I thought that was the most important thing. He said, there was things I could have learned. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. I was basically Chris's father, but he had a heavenly father. But I'm going to tell you something. You have a heavenly father if you're saved. And boy, he promises that you can know him in a real way. He promises that he'll abide with you. He'll comfort you. He'll be there when nobody else is there. You always say when a person dies, they always say, you know, we'll try to keep the family around to comfort them. But after a few weeks, everybody else is gone, and you're by yourself. And when you're by yourself, the Bible promises that God says, I'll give you a comforter. A lot of people go to drugs for comfort. They go to drinking for comfort. They'll go to somebody's house for comfort. They go somewhere, and there's nothing wrong with seeing other people, talking to people about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can go to the Father,
amen.
And the Father will comfort you,
amen.
And you'll know him, get to know him in a real way. You know how you get to know God? In the middle of your troubles.
Yeah.
If you'll look to him and you'll trust him, he'll show himself to you. And then he says, you'll do greater works than him. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he also, the greater works than these shall be he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, you'll be able to do even greater works. I mean, to see a soul come to Christ, to see a soul get to a point and you're living the kind of life that you're attractive to a lost man or a lost woman or a child. You're living that kind of life that your light's so shining before men. And your light through Jesus Christ will bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when they cry out and say, Lord, save me, that's a great job. That's a great work. I mean, folks, and when you can take a Bible and sit down with somebody from reading the Bible and having knowledge from the Word of God and be able to instruct somebody, disciple somebody, to get them to grow where they'll love Jesus Christ more and more each day and get to walk on their own, just like a child. We spend a lot of time, women do, with their babies. Kaylee's got a baby. Kylie's getting ready to have a baby. And we got babies in the room. And the mama spends more time with that child. And then when that child gets to a place, I mean, that child knows the voice of mama. That child knows the face of mama. That child depends on mama, and it gets to a place God says, I'll mother you like a mother. God is like our Father, and He'll mother you like a mother would. And the Bible says that He'll comfort you, and He said you'll do greater works, and you'll be you'll see His hand in things. Boy, what a blessing that is, man, to see God do something in our lives and other people's lives. Greater works, verse 12. Look what he says in verse 12, greater works. I mean, folks, the greatest work that you and I could be about is doing his work. You know what Jesus said in the garden, or actually when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and his mother and his father, stepfather, came to him and said, he said, man, we were worried about you. What were you? Where were you? You know, 3 days they didn't find him. He was in the temple, and he was disputing with the doctors and lawyers at 12 years old. And you know what he said? He said, I must be about my Father's business. You and I got saved, and God's put us in his inheritance, and we're a part of him. And he's our Father, and Jesus Christ is our God, our Savior. He's put us in business. Our business is the souls of men and encouraging others. And man, what a greater job anybody could ever do and have is to serve God. You said, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. I'm not have a position in the church. You don't have to be. All you got to do is be willing to be a servant. That's what we all are, just servants. I mean, greater works he shall do. Have you done anything for God? Are you trying? Are you trying to win souls? Are you trying to live for him? Are you trying to be a light? Are you trying to comfort other Christians? A lot of times people they like hermits. They like to stick to themselves. They want to be by themselves. They don't want, and that's not the way of the Christian. The way of the Christian is to help others, to be an encouragement to others. The Bible says that it says exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We see the day approaching. We ought to be exhorting one another. You want to do some great works for God? God's looking for some people to do some work. You know what the problem is for most people? They don't want to work. They don't want to do God's work. How about it, Christian? I mean, here in this chapter, he says, you don't have to be troubled. You don't have to worry. Trust me. The biggest thing that you and I face in this Christian life, and the biggest issue we have, is a trust issue. Do you trust God? Can he trust you? What is your life? Is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. God's given you life. He's given you eternal life. What are you doing with it? Are you doing any greater works for him? What have you been doing with it? Do you pray for people? Why are you troubled? Whenever I talk to people, I say, why are you troubled? What are you worried about? Everybody's worried about everything. Man, they worry about this, worry about that. When you're walking with the Lord, when you're fellowshipping with him, those troubles kind of fade away. And man, you start saying, man, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I do? I told you, I was out riding the lawnmower. I was saying, Lord, what else can I do more? I want to do more. Most people don't want to do nothing. I want to do more for them. Whenever I go somewhere and preach, I want to encourage the saints. I want to encourage them to the point where they want to love God. They want to serve him. I want to encourage the congregation God's given me as an under-shepherd. I want to encourage you to live for God. Do some work for him. These guys always asking for people to come to nursing home. He said, I don't want to go to nursing home. Don't you want to do some work for him? What about anything you can do? You say, I volunteer. I'm a volunteer. You know what else you can do? You can pray in his name. In the name of the Father and the Son. It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Verse 13. You ask anything in his name. When you're in trouble and things are coming at you, do you get down and pray? Do you say, Father, I need your help. Yesterday, whenever I'm doing something, I'm working. Folks, Lord, I'm not trying to make myself look like a spiritual person. I'm not trying to say that. Well, if I lose a bolt, I'm working on a, it's important when you're working on a piece of equipment and you lose a bolt. And you got to have that bolt to put it back together. And I always pray, Lord, open my eyes so I can see it. Open my eyes. Let me see that thing. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father, notice that, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I mean, God's given you the ability when you're in trouble to come to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I need this. I need your help. Amen. I need your comfort. Yep. And pray for others. I've been praying for a lot of folks lately going through troubles. I tell you what, it'd be a blessing. Or like Wednesday night. Wednesday night is getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Why? It says it's starting to get dark early. And we're tired. Everybody is. But when two or three gather together in his name, there he's in the midst. Prayer time is important in a Christian's life. If you don't have a prayer life, if you don't have a prayer life, shame on you. If you don't pray, man, you say, well, it seems like God doesn't hear my prayer. He does hear your prayer. You're saved. You're his child. He want to hear you. He wants you to talk to him. Verse 13, 14, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. He puts that, if you love me, keep my commandments, right after prayer. When's the last time you prayed for somebody else? Prayed for a need when you're in trouble. You got financial problems? Pray. God, help me. I need your help. And I've said this. I got credit cards. I said, Lord, I've said this about the credit cards. I said, Lord, I've got myself in this mess. It ain't your fault. Tell God the truth. Because if you try to lie to him, he knows you're lying. Your own conscience will bear on you. Say, Lord, I got myself in this mess. And I've got myself in debt. Help me, Lord. Help me get out. I promise you, I'll not do it again. And when you say that, God knows whether you're going to do it again or not, if you promise him. He's promised you that, brother, if there's any trouble in your life, you can call on him. He'll help you. Are you calling on him? People call me all the time. They got troubles. What I want to say to them, really, what I do pray with them. I try to remember before I get off the phone, pray, pray, pray. I try to remember that. Pray. Because prayer changes things. Why our hearts shouldn't be troubled? Because we got an abiding home. We got a place ready for us, man. We got the Lord coming back. We got everything for our benefit. Everything. Everything's going in our direction. Why is it that we're so defeated? Why is it that we do less now than we ever have? The church was on fire in the early church. Our church has been like this. It's been on fire, and then it got cold. It's been on fire, and it's got cold. That seemed like the natural way they laid out seeing church. But, man, we ought to try to stay up higher all the time than getting in our low spots all the time. Why? We can call on God. We can pray. You pray for your loved ones. We get in on Wednesday night. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for people's loved ones. We want to see people saved. God does. Like, you know, some of y'all don't know this. We had four people got saved last week. A little girl just got saved this morning. He said, oh, that, you know what happens? We see it happen so much around here. We see people take it for granted. Oh, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to sing. Somebody's going to shout. Somebody's going to run the aisle. We take it for granted. Amen. That guy that came, that was in Vietnam, my brother, him and his wife were sitting at my table. And we were eating dinner. And they're from North Carolina. North Carolina. They're from down in North Carolina. And he said this to me. Him and his wife, she said, I wish we could just take a little bit of your church home. Just a little bit. She said, I can't believe what God's done in there. If we could just take a little bit on, we get used to it.
Yeah.
It's like, unless somebody's jumped through the ceiling tiles, we ain't really noticing it. Look at verse 16. I'm going to close. Look at verse. Now, since I said that, somebody's going to end up doing it.
We don't need no more.
And look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long?
Forever.
You're sitting in here. If you're saved, guess what? You got somebody living in you.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
That's why you can't enjoy sin no more. I mean, you can enjoy it to a point. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but then you get sorrowful afterwards. After you've done had your way or whatever you want to do, you go, oh, God, why did I do that? Oh, Lord. That's how you know you're saved, because the Holy Spirit of God inside you, you grieved him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. Why are we troubled? Why? Why is it that we go through this stuff? Why do we put ourselves through it when we don't have to? I mean, man, you got the promise of the Holy Spirit of God being in you forever. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world can't get what you got, only if they come to Jesus Christ. He says, neither know him, but ye know him. How many all in here know him? You know him? Some know him. They say, you know, Jesus Christ had an inner circle. People always say, well, they've got a clique in the church. Everybody got a clique. Jesus had a clique. There was an inner circle. Those that want to get in will get in. Those that want to stay on the outskirts, and the devil will tell you, they got a clique in the church. They won't let nobody else do anything. That ain't true. That is not true. You want to do something, baby, we got something for you to do. We got plenty for you to do. We'll give you something to do. Promise you. Promise. I mean, I have people come to me and say, preacher, what can I do to help you? Just find something. Find something that needs to be done. Do it. Wherever you find your hand, do it. And people say, well, I just don't, you know, I'm so busy. I'm telling you something. We're in the Father's business. You can be at your own job working for another man, working on another project or whatever, but you still be about the Father's business.
Yep.
Where you're working at. When I worked for that roofing company, I would work with all those roofers. I'd be up on the roof, and they were all union, and I was non-union. And the foreman, his name's Lenny Donovan. Mrs. Donovan used to come to church here, and now she's in the nursing home at chronically ill. And Lenny Donovan used to come up to me and said, he was a foreman. He said, hey, preacher. I said, yeah. He said, here's the list for lunch. You go get it. I will go get the lunch. And he said, here's the list. And he had on there, go stop by the package store, get a 12-pack of Bud and some cigarettes. I said, I took my pen while Lenny's standing there. I just went, mark that out. And Lenny said, what are you doing? I said, I'm marking that out. He said, you're supposed to listen to me. I'm your foreman. I'm the foreman. I said, you're not my foreman. I said, you're the boss on this job, but you're not my boss. I said, he's my boss.
Amen.
And I said, but I'll get you something to eat. I'll go get you something to eat. He was so mad. He walked over one time. Lenny got so mad. He walked up and picked up a little hatchet. He walked over there and got this hatchet. So I'm real calmly. I didn't, no argument, nothing. I just walked over and there was a big hatchet laying over here. I picked it up and I said, what were you planning on doing with that? He said, just go get the lunch. You know what? Lenny's saved now.
Amen.
You know why? I've been praying for him.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, he's got a comforter. Mrs. Donovan, we went up to see her at the hospital. We walked in. You know what? Miss Donovan forgot everybody. She's got Alzheimer's. And she forgot everybody. She remembered me. But you know what? I asked her, you remember Jesus? She remembers Jesus.
Amen.
You know why she remembers Jesus? Because the comforter.
Yeah.
The comforter inside of her.
Yeah.
She remembers. You might forget everybody else, but you'll never forget the comforter.
Amen.
What a blessing. He's given us a comforter. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. And look at verse 27. I'll close with this. Look at verse 27. He says, down verse 26, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, notice the Holy Ghost and the Father, will send in my name, Jesus' name, all three right there. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Then he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Before I was saved, I was always looking for peace. After my brother was killed, I thought about killing myself. Because I stabbed him. I cursed him. I cursed God. I made fun of God. Everything I could, I did against God. And I thought about, the devil was right there saying, kill yourself. Kill yourself. I've had a gun in my hand a couple of times. The Lord had a plan. And finally, when I got saved, man, you talking about peace flooding my soul.
Amen.
You talking about peace coming over me.
Amen.
And I was able to say, oh, thank you, Lord. I've never gotten over it. Amen. I've never got over that peace that I felt.
Amen.
That night I got saved. You never want to get over that. Why? Because you'll try to find peace, and you'll go back to whatever you used to do. Whatever drugs and drinking and whatever you used to do, you'll go back there and try to find peace. And the devil will be right there saying, just kill yourself. You ain't worth living. You're a failure in life. And the devil will lie to you where God promises you. You can do greater works. You've got a place waiting on you. I mean, I put the Holy Spirit of God inside you and I sealed it. You got a promises from God, the comforter. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Neither let it be afraid. My Father is great. He's a great daddy. I mean, brother, he gives us promises after promises after promises. Then he gives us all these things. I could go all day long telling you all the things he's done. When I first got saved, I didn't understand all that. I knew something happened. I knew I got saved. I knew I had peace. But what happens is that peace sometimes, as you don't grow, you'll lose it. You'll lose the peace of God that passes all understanding. You'll lose that peace. So you'll go back to the world trying to find it. Think, I already done that. I already tried that. But that works, though. What works is serving God, honoring him, loving him. That works. They used to sing a song out in the world, said, looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's the way Christians are. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. When the Father loves you and he wants to comfort you, he wants you to serve him. He wants you to have that peace. Why are you troubled? Why are you worried about it? He'll comfort you. He'll take care of it. I prayed for my daddy. My daddy was dying. I got a call. He was in a coma. I drove to Washington, D.C. on a Wednesday night. Got in there, prayed. God, bring my dad out of the coma. He brought him out of the coma. We was able to say goodbye, and he died right after that. Peace. That's what the world's looking for, peace. My Father, thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. My Father, I pray you comfort my brothers and sisters here. That's why I preached this morning and took my time just to preach about why are we troubled. We get troubled about this world, and this world kind of gets us all fretting and worrying, and we stay up at night thinking about stuff, but God, we just call on you and cry out to you. God, you've already prepared a home. You've already prepared the second coming's coming to get us home. Lord, you've got all these things that you prepared for us, all the promises. And you said, my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My Father, I pray, God, give my brothers and sisters peace here this morning. Help them to have that peace of God. Help them to have that peace that comforteth. I pray, God, help them to pass it on and keep that peace. I don't want to lose that peace. I don't want to mess it up. I want to keep the peace of God. I want to have that comfort. I want to have that fellowship with the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. You need to come this morning. You need to pray. Ask God to help you. This morning, just bow your heads right there where you're at. Say, God, I need comfort. I need comfort. I need peace. I'm in trouble. I got troubles going on. Give me comfort. If you're not saved this morning, would you come? Would you let somebody show you from a Bible? Would you come? Would you step out right now? Come on. Come on. You're not saved. Come on. How many in this room can say, preacher, I know I'm saved without a doubt. Slip up your hand. Amen. All over the room. If you couldn't slip up your hand, come on. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come on. Brother Jay, would you take this man right here? This is Matthew. Show him how to be saved. What a blessing. Thank you, Matthew, coming. He came up to me this morning, go to my office. He came up to me this morning, he said, I want to get saved today. I want to get saved today. What a blessing. Somebody been praying. Somebody had to do some work. Somebody was about the Father's business. How many friends do you have that would get saved if you would just go to them? Humble yourself and be about the Father's business. How many would come to church and get saved? Or even get saved right where they're at? You think about all the things God's done for us. We're so selfish. God, forgive us for being selfish. Father, I pray for Matthew right now, God. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would show him, convict him, and you have, Lord. My Father, I pray, may the Holy Ghost of God seal him, and may he do greater works. Some Christians get on fire and start serving you, Lord, and get on fire and try to win souls, and they keep on doing it to the rest of their life. Some people will go for a while, fall by the wayside. My Father, if there be somebody here this morning just desiring to get back in, get back to serving you. Troubles come, and they've stopped for a little while trying to figure it out. But I pray, God, help them just to put their trust in you, that you'll take care of all the trouble. The Bible says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Comfort my brothers and sisters this morning that's going through the trouble and trials. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. Save that one today in Jesus' name. Thank you for Matthew. Help him to come to you with all his heart and do something for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you go. Yeah. All right, Brother Mike over here, he's the pastor of Solid Rock Baptist Church up in Pennsylvania. He has to work a job. He does concrete work, and his back's all messed up. And he's here with us today to see his daughter.